and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Everybody relax. I'm here. I'm here.
I'm with that. Barely.
Oh, dear. I made Chris drop a duty in his pants again. I just got here mere seconds ago. Happy post-primary day, everybody. Yes, Chris.
The owner of the show who's trying to kill you for life insurance money?
Yes.
He was there, and so he was thinking about taking over. A total
yes.
All
he was in my
thing.
Chair.
Yeah.
I launched him by the back of his pants just moments ago. I said, get out! All right. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. I was on CNN until the middle of the night, for God's sakes.
You sound like it.
Pardon me?
You sound like it.
Oh.
You have a B. Arthur thing
I had to
going
shave
on.
My tongue a moment ago. And you know, I have the insomnia. I had to take two Advil PMs because I'm getting a sore throat and a Lunesta, and here I am. I woke up a little late. Thank God David Bender is here to prop me up live in the studio. Good morning, David.
And to help throw out the man who would kill you for the insurance money.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yes, he just bought a new American bicycle. He's riding it out in the hallway. He wanted you to know that.
Reminds me of the time I was doing stand-up at the Improv in Hollywood years ago, and Jerry Seinfeld went up, and the owner of the Improv had been, stalling for time doing jokes, and he just goes, I always think it's a good idea when the owner of the club tries comedy. And that was what was just happening. The guy that owned the show was thinking, he was making his little jokes with you, wasn't he? I was like, okay, thank you.
And playing
thank
with you. Your sound effects
just
box.
Wear something tight and sign the checks.
Thank you. Next.
Good morning, David Bender.
Good morning, Stephanie Miller. And for someone who has been up all night at CNN, which is something they don't normally do, actually.
Yeah.
They turn out the lights at 9 o'clock.
Listen, no, I got
actually,
booted.
Actually, now 8 o'clock. It's done.
Chris, you saw this. I got booted off the 9 p.m. because there was Vandersloot-ian breaking news.
What?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wait, it was a primary.
That damn Vandersloot. I know. I don't mean to question CNN's
journalistic choices.
Yeah, I was supposed to be on the 9 and the midnight, and then I got bumped off the 9.
Well, Jorn Vandersloot confessed to running for governor of California. It all conflated. Hey,
exactly.
Came
it
together.
All magically, David Bender, came together.
As it does. It was really actually quite a night. And I got to tell you, I am so excited to be sitting here with you because you're a woman.
It's the year of the woman,
it
Stephanie.
It certainly was the
Stephanie,
day of the woman.
It's the year of the woman.
Well,
here's the good news about having a radio show. Because I was on with Wolf Blitzer last night, who was in for Larry on the Midnight Show.
Yes.
You know, with Wolf Blitzer, you always have to leave it there.
Yes.
And I don't have to leave it there here. I can talk and talk and talk for 3 hours.
Did he say that we had to leave it there to you?
All right, Stephanie, we'll have to leave it there. I can't. It's hard for me to be serious because I picture Jim doing Wolf Blitzer in my head, and I try not to giggle.
Where's the diphthong? I mean, really.
Stephanie, the year of the woman. Your thoughts.
Your thoughts. But let's tell people who
and
may
I'm like,
have...
well, in Carly Fiorina's case, because they're saying, oh, Sarah Palin started this, the year of the unqualified woman.
Right. That's really it. Look at the women that actually won. Sharon Engel
in
Nevada.
Let's take a moment for Sharon Engel. Woohoo! Harry Reid's down in highballs.
Yeah.
She is running for office in Nevada, and she supports nuclear dumping in Nevada.
Oh, she's 10 kinds of crazy. This teabagging just is the gift that keeps giving. She's the next...
She's for, you're absolutely right, she's for Yucca Mountain. She's for phasing out Social Security.
Yes.
Phasing it out.
And the Department of Education.
And the Department of Education.
Oh, she's 10 times
we'll
of crazy.
Phase in nuclear waste and phase out. Actually, we can just put the seniors with Yucca Mountain because they're going to be preserved there.
I look at us. We're so excited.
And she supports banning the sale of alcohol in Nevada.
Oh, now this is getting personal.
This is really good stuff.
Yeah, look at us. We're so excited. And I'm coming for you, Sharon Engel. Because Chris, I don't know if you remember the radio show a few years ago that we did in Los Angeles. I remember in the 90s.
Yeah.
Do you remember my producer? That was like our running joke. We would always we'd always figure out our topics during the day, and then we'd be like. Unless OJ kills someone else. All right, bye-bye, and then we'd hang up. And this is what happened to me last night. All right, damn it, I'll be damned if Jorn Vandersloot didn't kill someone else. You will be on CNN for primary coverage at 9 and midnight. I was very excited. Unless Jorn Vandersloot killed someone else.
Did you hear the reason why he killed her?
Because she knew about the math girl he killed.
Because she Googled him on his own laptop. And he flipped his lid about that.
She could have Googled him elsewhere. You know what? It would have been okay.
That's like the Lifetime movie you're watching. Go, no. No, 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 don't.
God, no.
No, and his leg, go.
Oh, no.
Do we have the Jaws sound effects?
No, look behind you. No.
Yeah.
Wow. Wait a minute. I'm sorry. I don't look at me. See, I'm criticizing CNN. Here I am. Right. I'm off on a Vandersloot-ian tangent before we get back to prime. Wait, Chris, explain this to me.
We'll have to leave it there.
Okay. I'm sorry.
He picked her up in a casino, brought her back to his hotel room. He went out to go get some snacks or something, and while he was gone, she Googled him on his own laptop that was in the hotel room.
He came back. He's really cute. Yeah.
He came back. And saw what she had done. He flipped out and snapped her neck. Allegedly.
Wow.
And the problem
is, does she not own a television?
It was in Peru or Chile. Chile.
Oh.
So
the problem is, he told her
that
his name.
That is so
was,
a lifetime.
He told her his name was O.J. Simpson. He was smart enough to use another name.
He told his my name is Lyle Menendez.
Yeah.
Yeah, boy, remember back in the 70s when we didn't have the Google and you just dated serial killers willy-nilly? You had no idea.
I dated both willy and nilly, actually.
Yeah, but you
Chris, you remember, I used the Google on a...
Yes, you did.
I can't remember the story now. I can't really talk about it, but yeah.
Yeah.
Remember?
Uh-huh.
Yes. A doctor at a party I met, a guy,
yes.
I did the guy. I was like, yeah! He was convicted of me!
But usually you use your own computer to Google people. You don't use the person's computer to Google them.
There are standards here. For God's sakes, what was she thinking?
Even if your obsessiveness alone would be revealed, how many times did she Google me? What is wrong with this bitch? Yeah. Oh, boy. All right. So,
was there an election yesterday?
No, apparently. All right. Chris, give me some Election Central music so I can get back on topic here, for God's sakes. Look at us, how easily distracted we are by shiny, murdery things.
Yeah, Vandersloot-ian news.
All right. Thank you. Welcome to the Stephanie Miller Show, Election Central. David Bender is our guest.
I feel like Professor Harold Hill.
Yes.
Chile.
Yes. So, where do we start? Yeah, I think teabaggers, just nothing but good news. That's what I love. Just imploding, I think that, as we've already discussed, what's her name? Engel.
Sharon Engel.
Ten kinds of crazy.
Harry
this
Reid.
This is who we wanted, right?
Harry Reid was written off for dead.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
Absolutely. He was barely at 40% as an incumbent.
Yeah.
And now he is running against a woman who simply every day, remember, she beat Sue Loudon. In
right.
the primary.
Chicken
Lady.
I am a little sad to see Chicken Lady.
Yeah, she was plucked.
She looked at the results and said, I'm plucked.
But, folks, really, we are here all week. And so the thing about Sharon Engel is that you actually couldn't invent a candidate who will give Harry Reid more to work with.
Yeah.
And he's got plenty of money, and he's actually now in that position of having been written off, they're starting to write the comeback story. Harry Reid gets to be the comeback kid. As
right.
Blanche Lincoln was
right.
yesterday,
well,
too.
Well, I mean, and that's the other thing, David. I said this in the moment that I got a word in on CNN last night, and I was barely awake, but I think that what happened, we talk about this on this show all the time, the media gets a storyline.
Right.
And they go with it, and frequently they're wrong. And this is like, this is the incumbent. This is, come on. Oh, well, Blanche Lincoln, all right. I think this election will be like most, state by state, race by
always.
Race. But the one thing we learned, Blanche Lincoln, the big dog still hunts in Arkansas.
Now, that is
Bill Clinton.
Let's talk about the real story here. Is that Bill Clinton, who himself had been written off as politically dead 2 years ago, was out
right.
campaigning for Hillary, and she had to send him to places like Arkansas because
right.
he couldn't go to major media markets. He was, South Carolina, it's all about the race. And
he had a case of the oopsies there for a while.
Well, he did, and yet what he did in Arkansas was to drive the base, including African Americans, for Blanche Lincoln. I mean,
right.
the people who hated Bill Clinton 2 years ago responded really
right.
well to his appeal. This was a close race. It was
I was going to say, I mean, who would ever have thought Blanche Lincoln would have a scare that close? And I do think it sends a message from the progressive base that if you want us to activate in 2010, I think this was a significant message. I agree. We obviously came up short in that one. But, Chris, it's one of those states where, like you said, it is a conservative state.
Yes.
And so I'm not necessarily shocked I mean, frankly, if Halter had won, that really would have been shocking.
Yes. Did you see the unnamed White House source who, and let's speculate on whose name is not on there, Rahm Emanuel, who said, congratulations, unions, you have just flushed $10 million of your members' money down the toilet. This was last night. Now, this is not a smart move on the part of the White House.
Right.
To say to the progressives and to unions that you just wasted $10 million.
Yeah, you don't want to tug on Superman's cape. And you don't want to spit into the wind.
There was a lot of spitting last night, and it was an unnamed White House source. And if it is not Rahm, it is someone who sounds exactly like Rahm.
Yeah. Well, yeah, you know me, Chris. I'm a union gal. I'm going down to give a union speech in a couple of weeks in D.C. And I mean, that's the thing. I think that there was money on both sides there, though, right? I mean, obviously, yeah.
Yes. Chamber of Commerce has been helpful, and all for Blanche, and all of this. The funny part is that Blanche Lincoln had to win first. By being, you know, the most corporatist Democrat in the U.S. Senate. Then she it was what Lieberman did. Mm-hmm. Remember? Mm-hmm. Oh, I really hate the war. Just reelect me. I hate the war. She got an amendment in on restraint on Wall Street. That she was pushed by the left to have to do something to prove her bona fides. And now she is out there. Nobody trusts her.
Right.
The left doesn't trust her. The right doesn't trust her. She is... Absolutely. Mark it down right here. She will lose this election.
Yeah,
in November.
That's what I'm afraid of. You know, that's what I looked at that. I was I felt like Halter could have activated the progressive base enough to
Joe Sestak
win
will
that. Yeah, yeah.
In Pennsylvania.
Let's go to South Carolina, where apparently they're getting the sex scandals out of the way before they get elected. By the way, where's my slut drop? A lot of people have said, oh, my God, she looks like you. And I'm just saying it takes one to know one.
She's a...
Oh, come on.
Look at her.
Now we're... What? We're in the dark side of politics.
Yeah.
However,
I am sitting
it
here.
It smells true to me, the allegations that she's had two
you
affairs.
You look much better than Nikki Haley.
Thank you.
Let me tell you, even with no sleep, trust me on this.
She's had, the two allegations? And she even went so far as to say, okay, if they turn out to be true, I'll resign.
Right. It reminds me of Gary Hart. Follow me around.
I know. I don't know why. This one just smells like fun. South Carolina, first of all, a little wacky, the politics there. So whoever's taking over for Mark Sanford, maybe they need to, you know, really take over for Mark Sanford, if I, you know what I'm saying.
And we should tell people that this is the candidate that Nikki Haley, who won the primary but managed not to get 50%, so she will be in a runoff. In a few weeks.
Right. So if anything indelicate should break,
but think about
in the next 2 weeks. Yes.
Think about it. If they're holding back, that's exactly what they were doing.
Oh man!
Because
all right.
One of the things that happens is if you unleash these things too close to an actual election, so they're not 2 weeks. So wait for the next couple of days.
Boy.
That's where, or even frankly, if she wins, wait for it to happen for the general.
Oh boy! All right. And we haven't even don't get me started on California. 19 minutes after the hour.
Nothing unexpected happened in California.
I know, but we have to break and. And we'll dive in there as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show with David Bender.
Sweet Lady Gaga, that is good.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
I did it. I made it through 90 days of P90X, and let me tell you, the difference in how I look and feel is unbelievable. I look better than ever. I have more energy. I'm more confident. And you wouldn't believe all the compliments I've been getting. I owe it all to P90X, the extreme at-home workout program that gives you strength training, cardio, core, flexibility, nutrition, all in one package. It's like a 90-day health makeover. I want all my listeners, men, women, young, and old, to follow my example. Take the P90X challenge today. Don't wait. Order now, and if after the entire 90 days you aren't thrilled with the difference you see in the mirror, you get your money back. Come on, be honest. Aren't you tired of feeling old and soft? Turn back the clock, look better than ever with P90X. Call now, 800-509-9438. That's 800-509-9FIT. Or go to stephaniemiller.com, click on that P90X banner. Say goodbye to those love handles by calling 800-509-9FIT or stephaniemiller.com.
Stephanie Miller.
Mm. It is the Stephanie Miller Show post-primary analysis with David Bender, our buddy, our pal, who, by the way, Ring of Fire.
Ring of Fire.
His hot, hot, hot show, his radio show.
Yes. We'll be on this weekend starting in my own native town of Eureka, California on KGOE. KGOE, a shout out to our friends there in Eureka, California, where they are hearing us now on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Yeah.
They're going to hear Ring of Fire Radio.
Love them, love them.
And we're really excited.
Yes. Did you say, Eureka, I found it when you got there?
I did.
And you're like, I'm home.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And they hand out gold nuggets, actually, when you get there. It's really, except it's fool's gold, as it turns out,
so,
because that's me.
And I'm moving back to L.A.
You are going back to L.A., and I want to say, because it is the year of the woman.
Yes.
I want to launch a Stephanie Miller for you pick your office in California.
Oh, good.
Can
I run against Early Taint? Is it too late? This is why I have to move back. I have got to get into these political fights in California.
25% of the vote. Okay? Orly Tate's got 25% of the vote. One out of four people voted for her.
Can I just say, politically and comedy-wise, Chris, I think these midterms are going to be our year.
I think so.
Oily Taint, seriously, is up for Secretary of State.
She lost.
Oh,
but she got 25% of the vote. Which is, Chris, how many people was that at the end of the day? That was hundreds of thousands of people voted for her.
Hundreds of thousands of people took her seriously enough to vote for her for Secretary of State.
The dentist, lawyer, birther.
Well, let me just say, I'm coming back to California because I have to get the matron saint of the Stephanie Miller Show, Senator Barbara Boxer, back in office, my friends. Trust me, you do not want to fight against Barbara Boxer. I will be at her side now with the nunchucks.
Right.
I started last night on CNN.
Did you?
I got in a couple of Carly Fiorino shots right off the... Yeah, I was.
And so did Barbara, too. If you saw Barbara last night, she was, you know, she went right after Fiorino saying, this woman wants to try and say that she can help the economy. When she had a chance to protect people's jobs, she fired them.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, I said this on on CNN last night with Wolf Blitzer. I said, oh, well, yes, maybe, you know, what do you think, Stephanie? Carly Fiorino. And I said, well, maybe she can do for California what she did for Hewlett-Packard. You make me more uncomfortable than Jack Cafferty. but anyway, I mean, seriously, she ran Hewlett-Packard into the ground, right, Chris?
Yep.
Got out with a huge golden parachute, outsourced how many numbers of jobs, and she's qualified how? And I don't care what your politics are. Barbara Boxer is one of the finest senators, in my opinion, we've ever had. So I'm just like, I don't... Carly Fear. It's amazing. What did Meg Whitman spend? $71 million of her own money? It's amazing what it can buy.
80.
Well, 71 of her own.
71 of her own.
81
total.
Total.
So the question is, who gave money to Meg Whitman?
What kind of moron?
Who writes her a check? I mean, think about that one, you know? But really, I need some help. It's so interesting because this will be, you've got Meg Whitman as a corporate CEO. You've got Carly Fiorina as a corporate CEO. They want to make it California Inc., okay?
Yeah.
That's their argument.
By the way,
California has not been run well.
Chris, can you bid currently to be governor of California on eBay? Because
apparently.
Meg Whitman, you see, apparently you can, because all it takes
She's buying
money.
It.
Yeah.
But
I made the point last night that, I mean, Michael Bloomberg spent almost every penny of his money, which is considerable, and barely won again in New York.
And actually, the sad thing is he didn't spend. He still had a lot more he could have spent. And when people tell you that you can't buy an election, that's not true. You can. And even in California, it's possible to spend enough to win an election.
You know what I really wanted to see last night, Chris,
what?
In the California race in particular? I wanted to see, of all the pundits in the world, I wanted to see Joan Rivers just screaming at both of them, "How'd you get so rich? Hey! Carly Fever, okay, Meg Whitman, get in your house. How'd you get so rich? Okay.
Have you had work done?
Okay, how do you? Carly Fever, you ever ran HP into the ground? How'd you get so much money? Missy, over to you. All right, I'm a little loopy on sleeping pills, and I've been up half the night with Wolf Blitzer.
Shotgun a bottle of Robitussin?
And a lot of gals know what I'm talking about when I say I've been up half the night with Wolf Blitzer. 29 minutes after the hour.
We'll have to stop there, Stephanie.
No. 29 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
You're drunk. She's drunk. I'm drunk.
So, You would be too if you spent half the night with Wolf Blitzer. It is the I kid. I love Wolf Blitzer. He's always very nice to me.
Yes, I'm sure he is.
Huh?
Well, on the craft services table, did they have a?
Oh, did you see the teabagger girl I was on with? She's the head of the teabag something and other something. I don't know.
I actually didn't watch. I'm sorry. It was on too late for me.
I was trying to catch myself, because you never know when you're on camera. I was smirking when she was talking about how great it is that the teabag candidates are in. I was like, it's like I'm setting you're setting the net and putting the leaves over it. And, yes, yes, that is very good. I can't wait till November.
It's Wile E. Coyote. It really is. You know, these people, and the thing is, they did not actually do terribly well in Virginia, for example. There were like six teabag candidates that just all the establishment. One there, that storyline. You were saying this earlier. The media has that, you know, it's anti-establishment, anti-incumbent. It's a zero-sum game. It's all about who you're standing up next to.
Right.
So when Harry Reid stands next to Sharon Angle, he's gonna look great.
Yeah, yeah. We will predict right now. The teabagging, it will implode on them in Nevada and in Kentucky.
I think so.
Because Rand Paul will not shut up. Did you see him yesterday?
It's true.
I saw the BP ad in the paper. They said they'll pay for it. Why does there have to be a villain? Why?
Why?
Oh, my God, he's turning into Britney fan about BP. Yeah. Rand Paul is like BP's biggest defender, which is, you know, which is a popular position to be in at this particular point as the pictures come in. All right. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number. Toll free from...
Leave her alone! You're lucky she even performed for you, bastard!
Exactly. You're lucky BP even drills for you. Leave them alone! Yeah. So where else? Now, so California...
California, here you come.
Yeah, exactly. But I'm just telling you... I will be by Barbara Boxer with the nunchucks. It'll be like a whole, I'm coming home with a bag full of. And let me just say one other thing. My HP printer sucks. It broke again. I donated it to the junk shot.
There's never enough toner and ink and, you know, it's a horrible
I've
problem.
Had like six of them, the HP Photo Smart. It's just, yeah.
You know, Jerry Brown. I've known Jerry Brown for... God, 100 years.
Yeah.
And worked on his presidential campaign, worked with him when he was governor the first time. And it is amazing how it reminds me of those things when you give a bride something old, something new, something borrowed, something blue.
Right.
Jerry Brown is all those things. he's what you give at a wedding. I mean, and if it is possible, he will become and he finally came out of hiding last night and really went after Meg Whitman and said that, you know, money is not a way to create ideas. You cannot buy ideas, you have to have them.
Right.
And I think he's onto something. If he runs against her so-called business acumen, it says, you really don't understand how to solve problems.
Right.
That could work.
Well, and Carly Fiorina, I mean, it's not just the money she spent to buy it and her disaster. I mean, it was like George Bush. Like, oh, he's a businessman. Well, yes, he's run several of them into the ground. Exactly. I mean, but beyond that, she's too right-wing for California, isn't she? She's virulently anti-choice. She's virulently pro-gun. She thinks even people on the terrorist watch list should be able to buy guns.
Can we say immigration?
Yeah, yeah.
And that's the real issue. What they had to do, what both Meg Whitman and Carly Fiorina had to do to win their primaries against
the crazies,
right-wing people is to say basically, you know, no Spanish spoken here.
Yeah.
And that doesn't work in California. You cannot do that. Ask Pete Wilson.
Yes.
You cannot demonize an entire section of the population that is the largest growing section of the electorate expect to win a general election.
Right. That's right. Never fear, California. Mama is almost here. It's all right. Everything's going to be okay.
They're there.
Bueno. They're there.
Okay. Mm-hmm. They're there. Now. All right. California acting up a little while I was gone.
Gotten a little colicky.
I'm going to get Senator Boxer and Governor Brown in, and we'll all be fine. Mike in Madison, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Wow.
Hi, Mike.
I was out in Humboldt County selling the Humboldt County Times subscription. So you.
Hey, Mike. Great.
Yeah.
Excellent. It's a good place.
Long time ago. Say, I think this election was rigged. I don't know about you guys, but shutting down in 40 out of 42 polling places where Halter's strong, it just sounds fishy.
Yeah. Yeah, I know, Mike. I wonder if we're going to hear more about that. What did David? What happened there?
Well, I will confess that I saw the anecdotal stuff, but I tend to try and not make accusations without facts. God knows why. You know, I actually am a pundit if I do that, but it would be nice to follow that story and see if it's true. You know, here's what we said at the outset: that Bill Clinton came in and Bill Clinton used everything he could bring to bear to help re-elect Branch Lincoln. Is there a machine in Arkansas politics? Yes, there is. Do machines try and find ways to, you know, sort of hoard votes at the end if an election is close, and we establish this was a very close election?
Yeah.
Yes, they do. Do we know that this happened? We don't know that.
Right, right.
We don't know.
I'm sure Jim will have something to say about it when he gets here. Let's go to James in New York. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, James. Welcome.
Stephanie, how are you?
Good.
Hey, listen, just want to let you know before I ask my question. Anybody out there looking to lose some weight? P90X, it works, baby.
It works.
Another unsolicited testimonial.
Let me tell you, I got an 8-pack, girl.
Oh, baby, thank you.
Oh,
yes,
yeah.
I people when I was in Asheville commented on my P90X-iness. I have P90X-iness.
You do, do you?
Thank you.
Well,
all right, James, go ahead.
Wolf Blitzer was nice to you last night. You got to get with me for a little while. I've been on P90X for a few months.
Bounce. Bounce.
But the reason I'm calling is I got a question here. Why are all these Tea Party freaks and all these conservatives and libertarians, why is everybody so stinking afraid of the global government? Why are they all so sovereign, all under their sovereignty?
What does that mean exactly in relation to the Tea Party?
I mean, it's like it seems like there's only one issue in these Tea Parties and amongst libertarians and conservatives. And they're no longer the pro-life, pro-choice. All the common issues domestically are out the window. Seems to be the only issue that these people are talking about is national sovereignty versus global government, collectivism versus individual liberty.
Well, there's a reason for that, Mike. It's because they're all crazy. The teabag is crazy. Crazy.
What is the problem with the global government?
Crazy. It's more like, it's so to the far right anti-government, right?
Yeah.
I mean, Nikki Haley wants, or not Nikki, excuse me, who's
Sharon
the other
Engel.
Crazy right-wing bitch?
Sharon
I mean,
Engel. Sharon Engel.
Pardon me. I'm sorry. Yeah, but, I mean, she wants to end the Department of Education. She wants to phase out Social Security.
Yeah.
She wants to...
Well, these are the
those
same
are all,
people. I mean,
that's all domestic stuff. I mean, I'm talking.
But this is not new.
Global platform.
Right.
Hey, man,
right.
This isn't new. This is. Remember, Bush sent someone to the UN who wanted to dismantle the UN. I mean, this is that same mentality has been part of this right wing meme for decades now. That it is one world government, and they hate both international government and national government.
Right.
Really, if they had their way, it would take a village because that's all that would be left. I mean, that's they would draw it
and
down.
And by the
to
way, may I
people.
Just say I just broadcast from the UN on Friday, and Chris, I was happy all those floors were still there despite
yes,
John Bolton.
John Bolton's floors, yeah.
Yes, yes.
Hit the elevator. Button 13 is gone.
that would have been the yeah. He,
Secretariat building in New York has 38 stories. Uh-huh. If you lost 10 stories today, it would make a bit of difference.
Oh dear. Oh, that's a golden oldie. I love that.
Tim in Madison. He said, "Leave it to George Bush to appoint a diplomat that doesn't believe in diplomacy." That was rich.
Right.
Tim in Madison.
Good morning. You know, with Branch Lincoln winning last night, just the primary, we still get like a proverbial kick in the balls last night for progressives. Because she's really not a Democrat. She's a Republican who has somewhat Democratic ideals.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty
yeah, I mean, I obviously, as a progressive, was not happy about last night's
I. But also, I think Meg Whitman is also going in the same line with toe sucker Dick Morris, saying that if you have enough money, you can buy your way to a seat. And that's exactly what she's doing.
Well, she's trying to do that. And it didn't work. And in this year of all years, being a corporate executive is probably not the best
I was just
going to
say. Yeah. I mean, you want to be
Corzine,
you want to be the outside of big banks, big oil. Big.
Yeah.
I mean, and I love this guy. The guy she beat, was it Poisoner, Chris?
Yeah. Steve Poisoner. Yeah.
He's just a Silicon Valley pauper. He only spent $25 million of his
money.
That buys you nothing.
I know.
What do you get for that, UConn Cornelius? You get nothing. What do you have? 25 million?
Nothing.
All right. Kathy in Illinois. Good morning, Kath.
Hi. Good morning, Stephanie. My husband suddenly passed away on May 20th.
Oh,
and I'm calling to thank
so sorry.
You so very much. Thank you. He left calm and strength behind with me. But I'd like to thank you on behalf of him. You made his morning drive to Illinois Valley Community College a blast every morning.
Thank you.
And also, David, he loved your show, too.
Oh, thank you so much for that. That means a lot to hear that. Thank you.
Kathy, he obviously had amazing taste in women between
you. Oh, I know. He did. He said, if I had to have another wife and I was Mormon, it would be Stephanie. But he wasn't too swift on moving to New York, so now you're going back to L.A. Oh. So that he would go with, you know. And I said, well, I will go with you. You just buy me a little condo of my own, you know, and you can go visit Stephanie, you know.
I'm glad you guys worked things out. Kathy, I'm so sorry, and that's very kind of you. I appreciate your calling.
Okay,
thank you,
bye,
Kathy,
bye.
Very much.
Bye-bye.
All right, bye-bye.
Aww.
All right.
That makes this all worthwhile.
I know.
Actually, that's the truth. No joke.
All right. You know, well, now it's back to the fart joke, so don't cry.
Okay, so that moment of silence lasted not very long.
I'm uncomfortable with emotion. Pardon me.
I'm Wolf Blitzer. Let's move along.
We'll have to leave it there. I'm going to cry.
On the craft services table, did they have hard cheese and drywall?
Yes.
Did they?
Well, I can confirm that Wolf Blitzer's entire diet consists of hard cheese and drywall. Look, now I'm doing the active duty impression for Jim.
Because he's not here.
I haven't had a bowel movement since the Johnson administration. Andrew Johnson. All right, I'm a poor replacement for Jim. That's the best I can do. 45 minutes after the hour. More post-primary analysis with David Bender as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
You'll cheer, you'll cry, you might even get a cheap laugh or two.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 50 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-1 to the phone number. David Bender joins us live in the New York Bureau of Stephanie Miller Incorporated.
Both of us Californians.
Yes.
Yes, heading back and go back to my Eureka roots, where we're going to be on KGOE starting this weekend on Saturday, Ring of Fire Radio, every week on KGOE and Eureka.
Very exciting. Someone on the live blog was wondering where Hal Sparks is. Chris Hal is on the road?
Yes, he's on the road in London. He's going to be in London for 2 weeks, actually, and so he'll be calling in from London a little bit later on.
All right, so that's what happened to Hump Days with Hal.
Yes.
Don't make David Bender feel bad by yelling out someone else's name while he's here.
Blimey.
You are good enough and smart enough.
And God darn it, people like me. But speaking of people who we like,
yes.
The gift that keeps on giving, Sarah Palin, even
yes.
though she was not on the ballot yesterday, had a big impact. She had endorsed yes. Nikki Haley in South Carolina.
Yes.
A lot of people say she helped there, and I think that is a gift that we'll keep on giving. But she also decided to respond because she is the government in exile, right?
Yes.
Having
oh,
exiled
gosh, yes.
herself.
Yes, she's a whole think tank in herself.
She,
yeah.
she is. Uh-huh. So if we want to know, the White House makes a statement, and she responds on Facebook. Because that's who she is.
Because she's like so eighth grade.
She is, really.
I look forward to if she gets elected, Chris, her speeches, she'll write them on like cootie catchers. She'll
yeah.
Like, six, seven, eight. Okay.
Sign my yearbook. You know, it's really, God, have a bitchin' summer.
Don't go changing.
Sarah Palin responded to the interview the president gave with Matt Lauer saying that, you know, he was looking to find out who was responsible because he wanted to know who's ass to kick.
Right.
Right? That was the president of the United States. So here's what half-governor Sarah Palin said, my experience, this is on her Facebook, though granted I got the message loud and clear during my campaign that my executive experience managing the fastest growing community in the state, Wasilla, and then running the largest state in the union, landmass.
I know.
Not people.
Frozen
landmass.
Tundra.
She calls Alaska the largest state in the union was nothing compared to the experiences of a community organizer. She's still doing that, right?
Oh, boy.
She's
playing the hits.
She says her experience showed me how government officials and oil execs could scratch each other's back to the detriment of the public, and it made me ill. I ran for governor to fight such practices. So as a former chief executive, I humbly offer this advice to the president. You must verify. This means you must meet with Tony Hayward, which the president said he didn't want to do because he didn't care. He didn't want the excuses. Demand answers, says Sarah Palin. In the interview today, the president said, I don't sit around just talking to experts because this is a college seminar. We talk to these folks because they potentially have the best answers, so I know who's asked to kick. Please, sir, for the sake of the Gulf residents, reach out to experts who have experience holding oil executives accountable.
Oh, please.
I can vouch for their integrity. Call them. The people in Alaska worked on Exxon Valdez. They can help you. Give them a call, or what the heck, give me a call.
Yeah,
that'll be. Oh, I'm sure she's on speed dial whenever he needs.
How about that? We now know how to solve this problem. Let's bring her in as an expert.
Call Caribou Barbie. Yeah, and call the last guys that did
Todd.
It. The Exxon Valdez.
I love America.
I love it. All right, let's go to Tom in Los Angeles. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Tom.
Hi, Steph. First off, I think since Meg Whitman, I figured it out, spent about $200,000 for each vote. Why didn't she just write a check for each person?
Absolutely.
There you go.
$100,000, and then
boom, California, we're out of debt.
Tom, I said that years ago. Cut out the middleman.
Just give me the money.
Exactly.
Exactly.
Brilliant idea.
All right. Keith in Montgomery, Alabama. Good morning, Keith.
Stephanie, this is one conservative in Montgomery who thinks he'd probably like you personally.
Oh.
You seem like a sweet person, and this is. And every time I listen to your show, and I do listen to your show quite often.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Come to the light. Stay in the light.
We're conservative wackos. We don't, we're far right loons and all this stuff. And
the ones that I consider to be far right loons, I call far right loons.
Stephanie is related to many far right people.
Exactly.
Let me ask you this, Stephanie. I want an honest answer. Am I a far right loon because I'm scared of the spending? Because I think this country is guilty.
No, so I'm sure you were very angry at George Bush for leaving that huge deficit.
You're damn right I was.
Okay.
And am I far right loon just because I think Obama's not qualified to be president? I don't think he has a life experience to be president.
Did George Bush?
At least he was governor of a state. I mean, he did something.
Yeah, with a weak governor, strong legislators type of government. Absolutely.
Obama stood on the corner, rallying.
He was a United States senator.
Organizers, and that does not qualify you to be president.
He was a United States senator.
Oh, that's talking points.
Yeah. A cup of coffee in the Senate does not qualify you to be president. What did he do?
Okay, why are we in the past? He's already president. So, you can go back and re-argue the campaign, but he's already president.
Point well taken.
He can put sentences together. Which actually is a really good thing to have in your president.
Putting sentences together does not put food on the table. Putting sentences together does not clean up
food on your family.
Right, but Keith, well, once again, you understand we were losing over 700,000 jobs a month when George Bush handed over the presidency. We are now going in the right direction. And granted, we are not there, Keith, but how do you spin those numbers that since Barack Obama has come in, we are going absolutely in the right direction.
On the ground, out on the street, I'm not so sure we are. I know economists make up the numbers. And
I grant you that, but I know what you mean. For a lot of people on the street, it doesn't feel like it. If you're the one that's still out of a job, it doesn't feel like things are getting better, but they are. They are quantitatively getting better. All the economic indicators are better.
And don't get me wrong, I'm mad as hell for Republicans. I think they dropped the ball. I think they were given the keys to the shed, and they screwed it up.
Keith, I think you and I could get married and last at least as long as Alan Tipper. What do you think?
Let's give it a whirl.
All right, I love you, Keith. All right, honey, thanks for calling. There you go. I just wanted to end on a magical note. Let's give it a whirl. Okay, let's go to Rachel in Eureka, hometown of David Bender. Arla. Hello, Rachel.
Hi, I'm calling about the Meg Whitman, Steve Poizner thing.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Because I am a California resident, and I did just vote, although in Humboldt, of course, the most important race is the DA.
And what happened there?
Oh, I actually don't know the results, but my guess is Gallegos win, and that's what I would. That's who I voted for.
Listen, Eureka people, what is this, community calendar?
We're community organizers.
All right, go ahead, Rachel.
We are. I worked on Bonnie Neely's funding campaign. I'm calling because Steve Poizner, interestingly enough, wrote a whole book about how he did a Dangerous Minds thing down in a school in L.A., and a couple of weeks ago, This American Life's episode, True Urban Legends, completely does an expose on. They go down, they talk to students at the school, they talk to teachers at the school, and they found out that, you know, nobody but Steve Poizner believes that Steve Poizner did the things that Steve Poizner says he did.
Oh, well, we won't have him to kick around anymore.
No, he's toast.
David Bender is the host of the delightful Ring of Fire radio show, along with Bobby Kennedy Jr. and
Mike Papantonio.
Who is everywhere.
And he is
in the 40 seconds a week. He's not on television.
And that is not a pap smear.
Right,
I'm using your line.
Ringoffireradio.com. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 1-800-STEP-1, do the phone number, toll free from anywhere. StephanieMiller.com. The website. Check it out. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris LeBoyer, voice of the 80 Jim Ward, or me, Stephanie Miller. Do I sound like Jack Cafferty today? I've been spending half the night with Wolf Blitzer.
You sound a little better.
And I've had no sleep.
You sound a little better this hour than you did last hour.
You don't sound quite as bitter as Jack Cafferty.
but I am. All right. We have Representative Adam Smith coming up from the great state of Washington, Reverend Jesse
Jackson. The Scottish economist?
No, not that.
Oh,
Adam.
Okay.
No,
it's kind of muerto.
No. And one of our very personal favorites, Debbie Wasserman Schultz, Congresswoman of the great state of Florida.
Yes.
Yes. So please, stay tuned, won't you? In the meantime, we have our buddy, our pal, Carl Frisch.
Carl.
Carl Frisch. Exciting. For Media Matters for America.
So invited to me.
Hello. Good morning, Carl Frisch.
Good morning.
What your quick take on the primary results, please, sir?
Oh, please, let's make sure what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas.
Yes.
I'm going to miss the chicken lady myself.
Well, you know, it was the chicken lady versus the Scientologist or something. I mean, it's not even quite sure what was going on.
Sharon Angle is a Scientologist?
Yeah, oh, there was a Scientology angle there. Jim, you're going to have to bust out your Tom Cruise phrases again.
She was promoting these Scientology prison therapeutic massages.
Oh,
I don't
know.
Yes. Yes.
But not only that, she also believes that there should be no legal alcohol.
That's right.
Yes.
In Nevada.
That would go great over great in Vegas.
Yeah.
And Reno.
Yeah.
Speakeasies
so,
are bad.
You know, if that happens, you know, what happens in Vegas will really stay in Vegas and nothing new will ever come.
Yeah. There goes the
tourism
industry.
I think the Tea Party, just nothing but good news for Democrats, don't you think?
Well, it's certainly good news for comedy and Democrats.
Yes.
There's nothing funnier than seeing the National Republican Senate and campaign and House campaign committees putting money into these primaries and then losing to a bunch of Tea Partiers.
Yeah, yeah.
You know,
and do you think any more men will come forward to say they've slept with Nikki Haley before the runoff in South Carolina? What's your if you were a betting man?
How many weeks is that?
A couple of weeks.
You know, I would put money on 13. 13.
That's yeah.
All right, let's dive into
the... I don't know how many more bloggers and lobbyists there are out there to come forward, but, but that was the strangest... somebody needs to write a book just on the Republican primary season from 2010. I mean, in the last week of that governor's race in South Carolina, you had another affair come out. You had one candidate taking a polygraph to prove that he wasn't the one pushing these stories. You had a state senator calling her by a racial slur.
Calling her raghead, yes. Uh-huh.
Right. It's just insane.
Well, actually, he called her a raghead, and then he apologized for the but not the other part.
Well, you know, there was a state senator from Charleston in 2000 that insulted the NAACP by saying that they were the National Association for the Advancement of Retarded People. Mm-hmm. And under pressure from the NAACP and others, he apologized to the disabled. So this is South Carolina. You know, they haven't changed in 10 years. They haven't changed in 40 years. I don't think
they've changed. It's South Carolina where they got crazy in the water. All right.
Exactly.
Let's okay. So let's dive in. Christopher Brownfield on the Fox and Freaks on how this oil cleanup would have been much better with oil guys in charge.
President Bush had a lot more people who worked for the oil industry in his administration, and that gave them a lot more expertise to draw on.
What?
Wow.
Also, there's a certain amount of aggressiveness that President Bush had. I think President Obama could be a little bit more aggressive in dealing with the oil companies to resolve this crisis.
Oh
yes. Based on Bush's response to Hurricane Katrina and the fact that he's an oil guy that put these regulations in place. Yes.
Hey, you guys. You guys know how to mess this up? You know how to clean it up? It's ridiculous. I mean,
yeah.
the notion, you know, by that matter, then why not just put Bush in charge of the presidency again?
Yes.
Because he knows how to screw this up.
Because what could have gone wrong, right? What could go wrong?
It's absolutely ludicrous. And this is what happens when Fox News is left to run 24 hours a day.
Yeah.
The pundits have to come up with something original to say, but it doesn't always come out even sounding reasonably coherent.
But right, they always end up advocating for bigger government in the process.
Yeah, it's really weird. All of these right-wingers are advocating for more regulation of the oil industry now.
Yeah, apparently.
And saying Obama didn't regulate it enough.
Yeah. If you blink twice, it'll be over soon.
Yeah, exactly.
All right.
You know, it's only a matter of time.
Glenn Beck on the radio on the president.
Look for the stories out of Washington on this big progressive convention because mm-hmm. it's all the Uber left. They're the ones telling the president, and that is who the president spoke to when he said, "I need to know whose ass I need to kick." Excuse me? That you're not speaking to Bill Clinton. You're not speaking to Harry Reid on that.
What?
You're speaking to William Ayers.
Oh, what the? He's still on William Ayers?
Yes.
What the?
Oh, is that, wow. Was that sort of a borderline racial thing? Like, that's black talk, ass kicking. You're not talking
to
normal people. What?
That's what Drudge put on his front page, that ass kicking was
street.
Talking street.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's black.
Because I've never heard it. I think I've heard my father say that at least 100 times.
Oh, I've said it a million times. Kick your ass or something.
Wow.
The street being San Bernardino.
The right wing attempt to paint the disaster off the Gulf Coast as a product of radical environmentalism, because we all know what environmentalists want is for offshore oil drilling and horrible disasters that kill marine life. Makes no sense.
Yeah, exactly. All right, Mark Davis in for the honeymooning. I'm sorry, it's hard to get over the visual of Rush Limbaugh honeymooning. Every time I say it, Mark Davis in for Limbaugh.
What is it that is just so galvanizingly off-putting about this president? It's like, well, I'm sitting here with Matt Lauer, and I'm going to make some reference to whose ass to kick. And that's going to make me seem tough. It'll really make me seem like I'm in charge. I mean, what is this? It's like Urkel channeling Jay-Z. It
what?
Doesn't work.
Mm-hmm. See, once again, proving Carl, he cannot win. First, he's not
angry
enough. And now he's too. See, now he's too much Jay-Z and not enough Urkel. Oh, no, that's all right.
It's funny to hear him talk about, Urkel meeting Jay-Z, you know, what shoes is he trying to fill? This guy isn't even a good pale imitation of Rush Limbaugh. He's not even as good as Rush Limbaugh was during his second marriage.
A.B. Stoddard on the Britt Baer Show.
That kind of tough talk, it's very uncharacteristic. It just seems like a political PR mop-up at this point. It doesn't really seem as if it's going to be an effective way of changing the public perception that he wasn't as outraged as everybody else from the beginning.
Well,
see, for the love of God, he can't win. It doesn't matter what he says or does, does it?
I kind of see their point, though.
A little bit of an overcorrection?
Yeah, I just
it may be an overcorrection, but you know what?
You know, you look at the timeline, and he's been involved in this situation since the moment we learned about it. And the question becomes, the media has not been criticizing his handling of the disaster aftermath. They've been criticizing his emotional state.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Which is just
ludicrous. That's what someone said. It's, you know, it's an acting review. I disagree it's an overcorrection. I mean, Matt Lauer asked him the question, and he responded, because I think that you know, it is interesting because there's so much criticism no matter what he does, Carl. And he, I mean, I think his point was well taken, that, look, I'm not just conducting some exercise here. We've got to find out what exactly happens so you know what to do about it. I think that's all he was saying.
Well, and if he showed flints of anger and looked like he was truly angry and that he wanted to kick somebody's ass, what would they be saying? They'd be calling him an angry black man.
He's unglued.
This is something they tried to do during the primary. They've been calling Michelle Obama an angry black woman for a long time. And I think it's smart for Obama to play it cool.
Now he's a faux angry black man.
Exactly. Let's see what Bill Kristol thinks on the Brett Baer.
You know, the best thing about his statement really is not sort of, I want to, if I can, if you'll excuse the vulgarity, I want to kick some ass, I'm angry. If the president said that, you'd say, okay, fine, he's angry and he's expressing it a little bit. But I love his formulation that the reason I'm listening to these experts, what does he say, is that they have the best answers, so I know who's ass to kick. So Obama's so professorial that he thinks you have to call a meeting of experts to decide who's ass to kick. Don't most politicians, most executives just decide that at some point, you know what, I'm going to go get mad. They don't have the meetings of experts in the Roosevelt Room to decide who to get mad at.
Yeah, you do it like a man. You
ladies
just bomb preemptively, even if they don't have any weapons. Yeah. Nothing. Just go, do it. Smoke them out. Get her
don't
done.
Think about it. Go, do.
Ladies and gentlemen, the brain trust that led us into the Iraq War.
Yeah, exactly. You don't have to call them meetings. Are French and gay. You just go and you do. You bomb. You know. Meetings, experts.
I write newspaper stories, and was a neocon who got us into this long, terrible war in Iraq. And here's precisely how. It's absolutely ridiculous. I don't even know why Kristol's allowed to. The Bic Pen Corporation should stop selling him ink.
Yes.
Because
their fault. All right, one last one. O'Reilly on the president.
It's another Barack in a hard place situation for the president. His cool demeanor has brought heat directly on him. He's a man used to controlling situations, but this one remains out of control. In any honest damage assessment of the oil debacle, the White House is up there.
You know,
Carl, yes.
It sounds like he's been listening to the show and practicing a little bit with the teleprompter to seem more genuine.
Yeah.
Sounds like he's trying to do it live. And I mean, it's hilarious. That's the problem, is, you know, you just from those sound bites in right wing world, you can see the president, he can't win. Is it his demeanor's too cool? Oh, this is too street. Oh,
he's like Goldilocks.
Right.
It's too hot. It's too cold. It's just right, but it's too street.
Do it live!
He can't win.
There's too much government intervention, or not enough, simultaneously.
Yes. Exactly.
Why didn't he send all the bolts? Why didn't he commandeer the bolts?
Carl Frisch from Media Matters for America. See you next week, my friend.
Alrighty, have a good one.
There he goes, Carl Frisch.
Hooray. He's exciting.
18 minutes after the hour, we're back with the latest on the oil spill as we continue on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Wow, how did this show stay so fresh?
It's The Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Wow. Lyrics of the year.
Wow. I think I'm down for the boogieing. I'm not sure about the oogie-oogieing.
Okay.
That might be a little much. 23 minutes after the hour. Cindy in Michigan, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Cindy.
Hi. You know, David Bender had just read that Palin thing that she wrote about how she worked with the oil companies, so she'd
the
know
president,
exactly
he's
how
probably,
to do this.
Yeah, the president's probably slapping his head like, I wish I had a V8. Oh, I should have called Sarah Palin. That's what I haven't thought of.
I remember when Katie Couric asked her which Supreme Court decision she disagreed with, and she gave one of those vague answers and couldn't think of anything. And just a couple of months before that, the Supreme Court had ruled that that ExxonMobil did not have to pay the total amount of damages to the people of Alaska.
Right.
And she couldn't. So in my mind, that would be a tacit agreement with the oil companies that they didn't have to pay anything. So in my mind, too, she stood up to the oil companies just long enough to shout, drill, baby, drill, in the heat of passion.
Right. So she is right in that sense. If the president wants to call someone for advice on how to help the oil companies get away with a lot more stuff, then she would be a good one to ringy-dingy the president yesterday on VP.
I have not spoken to him directly, and here's the reason. Because my experience is when you talk to a guy like a VP CEO, he's going to say all the right things to me. I'm not interested in words. I'm interested in actions. And we are communicating to him every single day exactly what we expect of him and what we expect of that administration.
Well, yeah, he's got a point there.
The White House says Obama will travel next Monday and Tuesday to Mississippi, Alabama, and Florida. It will be his fourth trip to the region, the president again yesterday.
There has not been an idea that is mentioned out there by any of the critics that we haven't evaluated, and if it was going to work, we would have done it.
Oh, here's another chick from Alaska maybe he should call for advice, Chris, would be Murkowski, Lisa Murkowski.
Hmm.
Can I have some nostalgia music? Oh, I remember this like it was almost yesterday. In a speech, Jim, on May 7th, 2008, Murkowski said the oil drilling blowouts were impossible. She said she asked the oil industry to mobilize all your resources for a massive campaign to beat back legislation and regulations to combat the growing hysteria over fossil fuel use.
That's crazy. What could possibly go wrong?
Yes! She suggested the oil industry fund a major campaign to open areas of America to environmentally sensitive oil and gas exploration. She commended the oil industry for fighting off efforts to add more red tape to drilling permits and made clear, although she's facing considerable and growing opposition from Alaska fishermen and whalers, her allegiance with the oil industry is in opening new drilling. Possibly the most stunning statement was her claim, though, that, quote, new technology makes Santa Barbara wellhead blowouts impossible now.
Unfortunately, Obama parroted that.
And the oil industry should publicize this claim to the public, pushing for more drilling to the outer continental shelf in places like, for instance, the Gulf of Mexico and elsewhere. Because what could go wrong now? Whatever.
And
now
it seems to have gone even wronger, like I've been saying.
Talking about the underwater,
blown out the well itself. So now oil is seeping out to the sides and out of the ground, in which case we're screwed.
I think it was Keith, right, saying last night, talk about worst case scenario. When you think you've hit in the worst case scenario, they're saying that the pressure from the stuff they've been doing, right, like Top Kill, could be making it, it's actually like under the ocean floor is what they're talking about, right? The actual,
it's what they call an extinction-level event. Could kill the entire planet, ultimately, if you can't stop it.
Good morning, everybody. Mike in Chicago, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Hey, gang. Maybe one of you guys knows the answer to this. I haven't heard anyone ask these two questions. Because of extraordinary circumstances, can Obama, under executive order, have all of Cheney's closed-door meetings with the energy companies open to the public?
I sure hope so.
And also, why isn't the Department of Justice filing criminal charges against BP for interfering with an ongoing investigation with their lying?
Yeah. Well,
Eric Holder's firm used to represent oil companies, so
I think the problem is they've opened an investigation, but that's the problem, Jim. By the way, we're having Mike Papantonio on tomorrow, who may know the answer to that legally, but they've obviously opened an investigation. I'm not sure what they would be authorized to do now, but I don't know.
How does Cheney keep getting away with this stuff? He won't tell who was at his energy meeting. He refused to testify under oath to 9/11. He pretty much says what he said to Patrick Leahy on the Senate floor to everybody.
Yeah.
And why is he not in prison?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Mike in Tacoma, Washington, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Mike.
Hey, Steph. Hey, guys. Hey, we got to go back to the Wayback Machine with Mr. Wizard and go back to the time.
Help, Mr. Wizard, help.
No, that's Mr. Peabody.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
But, well, anyway.
Mr. Peabody.
Anyways, back when the regime of George the First and the First Gulf War, and when George said President Bush, you know, he said, "We're going to go in and kick Saddam's ass." Remember that?
Yes.
And it was either went straight or he opened the floodgates for everybody in the world to say ass on TV. You know.
So the rest of us can just go to prison and say ass.
Of course, when Saddam Hussein met with April Glaspie, who was like under assistant something or other in the State Department, about invading Kuwait, she essentially said, "Yeah, go ahead, big fella," and then we dropped the hammer on him anyway.
Yep. 29 minutes after the hour, Representative Adam Smith of the great state of Washington will update us about the economy, the oil spill, and much more as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Have you lost your damn mind?
That goes without saying. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 34 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Thad!
Yeah.
It's time for an update from Thad Allen, the Coast Guard.com.
We're making no illusions that this is anything other than a catastrophe, and we're addressing it as such, and we'll continue to do that.
Oh, good. Hello, Mr. Catastrophe.
And as Jim said, I think it just got more catastrophe-y as we speak. It's hard to know, Jim, exactly what's going on.
Which is exactly why they shouldn't have trusted BP for everything on this. We should have had Navy submersibles down there taking pictures of stuff so we can see what's really going on. They've been trying to hide it.
Yeah, at this point, I don't even know, because that hasn't even been confirmed that that's happening, right? Is what we think is happening, I don't even know what the other thing is called now that's under the sea. I'm like, what, wait a minute. It's, you know what I'm saying, where it's leaking from? It's leaking from, obviously, this pipe that we cut, but they're saying it's forced the pressure down, right?
Yes, it's exploded underground. So oil is leaking out directly into the geography down there and leaking out through the ocean floor, apparently.
So potentially everything they've done could have made it worse.
Worse, yes. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, good. All right. Good morning, everybody. Representative Adam Smith of the great state of Washington joins us now. Good morning, Congressman.
Good morning, Stephanie. How are you?
Oh, I'm it's hard to say. I don't know, you know, what you know, if you know any more than we do about the latest on this disastrous oil spill. But what can you tell us?
Yeah, I don't. It's been fairly well documented. The frustration that you were just expressing is incredibly justified. BP, you know, has not been honest seemingly from day one about what's going on down there. And, you know, it's bad enough that they were lax in, you know, following the rules that they were supposed to follow. But now, after the event, you know, instead of saying, oh, gosh, we got a big problem, let's lay everything on the table, bring everything to bear to try to fix this, they have, you know, slow rolled it from day one and just made the problem worse. And it points up the fact that you cannot simply rely on and trust corporations and businesses. They have their interests. There are other interests. We strike a balance between those. But you can't say, just let them have it because, you know, the invisible hand, if you will, will take care of everything. Doesn't work that way. You've got to have a balance between those interests, and it just keeps getting worse down there.
If only the president would talk to Sarah Palin, this would be resolved instantaneously.
Yeah, Sarah Palin thinks that's all that's missing, is he's not called her for advice.
Well, that is the funniest thing I've heard this morning. It's early, I'll grant you. But
Congressman, speaking of things, I mean, it's almost, you don't even where to start with this ridiculousness. I saw this guy from FreedomWorks on ABC, what's his name, the FreedomWorks president, Matt Kibbe. Well, first of all, they're the grassroots group that worked with BP to build support for opening up all these areas to new drilling. Right. So he's one of these people, Congressman, that's on TV saying this was a natural disaster, which allows him to kill two birds, deflect criticism from BP, and also saying that, you know, they're still for small government, but the government should act when there's a natural disaster. And it's been the government's response that's been the disaster. You almost don't know where to start on that, do you?
Yeah, well, I'll start in a couple of places. First of all, he's wrong. It was not a natural disaster. BP has long claimed that they can do this safely, so it was in their technological responsibility. And second of all, if the guys at FreedomWorks, you know, want that to play out, then what should have happened is the day the leak started, BP should have said, you know, we will turn our property over to the federal government and we will let the federal government run it. We will, you know, we agree to allow them to confiscate our private property and come in and run this show. They didn't do that. They said, this is our property, and it's our show, basically. So, you know, there's just no consistency to that argument whatsoever.
Well, so, I mean, it completely deflects blame from BP. It's hilarious. And puts it out, he said, and I quote, well, I think if you look what's happened down there, it's a sad story of government incompetence. I think what you have to look at is when there's a natural disaster like this, we expect our government to do some things and do them well.
It's interesting. There was a guy on Jon Stewart, and I forget who he was. He's written some, you know, sort of new right. The new culture war is, you know, government control of the economy. And it's funny when Jon Stewart asked him, you know, well, you know, what's your definition of, you know, what, you know, when government should act and when they shouldn't? Stripped down, basically what he said, when something goes wrong, we will blame the government for it. Prior to it going wrong, we will do everything in our power to stop the government from interfering in any way that will prevent it from going wrong.
Yes.
So basically, you know, government is there to blame when things don't work out. But we will not allow any sort of regulatory scheme. And I think this is a great example of it. And certainly, you know, as a Democrat, I have to admit that, you know, the Interior Department didn't exactly improve the situation here when President Obama got into office.
Yep.
In his defense, he had a lot on his plate. But it was part of the Bush government philosophy of, you know, these guys know how to do the oil business. We don't need a federal,
bureaucrat
in there.
I wonder if you could respond. I don't know if, again, you know, but my co-host Jim Ward here was just saying, you know, when this happened, we should have sent, like, Navy submersibles down to, you know, see at least what was going on. I mean, again, would that have helped? Would they have known what we're looking? The problem is we did trust BP, that they're the ones that had the expertise and the equipment.
I think it is unlikely that I think it would have helped in one regard. You're absolutely right. That what happened here is, you know, this is what BP does. You know, the federal government doesn't, you know, drill for oil. We've got these companies that supposedly know what they're doing. They did have more expertise. Now, unfortunately, they did not have more competence, but they clearly had more expertise in this particular area. Now, if we had stepped in more aggressively, the one thing we might have been able to force, and the one area that I will fault the government a little bit here, is we should have forced from day one honesty, openness, and transparency about what was happening. I mean, they have stumble-bummed their way through, you know, five or six different solutions.
Let me bring my co-host in here. I mean, because I'm curious what you mean. I mean, what would we have even known what we were looking for?
Well,
so a Navy submersible is taking pictures.
They would have taken pictures of whatever they wanted to, and we could have hired, the government could have hired anyone they wanted to interpret what they were seeing, instead of relying on BP to do everything and trust that they were showing everything that was going on, which they clearly weren't.
Right. Well, I mean, I think hindsight is 20/20, though, Congressman, don't you think,
in the sense that,
you know, obviously, at the outset, we didn't know BP was going to lie and cover up to this degree.
I could have told you that.
And we did not have a sense of the scope of the problem. I think the scope of the problem, you know, sort of, you know, came out over the course of weeks going forward. At the time, you know, we didn't really know. Now, in hindsight, yes, we clearly should not have trusted them even to give us accurate information, much less to fix it. But overall, I mean, the lesson here is you have to have a balance between, you know, private sector entrepreneurship going out, doing what it does best, and the public interest being protected by some sort of public entity more balanced interest.
This wasn't the first time that BP got in trouble, though. They've had more violations than almost anybody else in a very corrupt industry.
They've had more violations than anybody else. It's funny, I was struggling how to explain this in an email response to someone the other day. To say that they've had more violations than anybody else is the understatement of the century. Apparently, they, during a time period, had over 700 violations.
Right.
When no other oil company had even double digits.
Right.
Some had one or two, seven or eight. They had over 700. And I think at that point.
So we could have seen that coming.
Absolutely.
So, Congressman, what do we do now, though? I mean, obviously, people keep using the phrase, but I think it is apt about leaving the criminal in charge of the crime scene. I mean, obviously, the president is angry, but what should we do now? Because as Jim was just saying, I mean, it looks like whatever they've been doing looks like it's getting better, and it may in fact be making this whole thing worse. So now what, right?
Well, I don't know is the honest answer. I think that at a minimum there ought to be some way for us to assert greater authority over the process and make sure that there is a broader group of people second to second, day to day, working on this. Whatever BP is doing, we ought to have somebody in the room. It doesn't even necessarily have to be a government official. It can be, you know, some other, you know, oil expert from, you know, some other aspect of the industry, somebody who's not just BP, who's watching this, and not just right. one somebody, multiple yep. somebodies yep. who are in there, so that we're not sitting there like we did when they did the ridiculous Top Kill thing, where for 16 hours they'd shut it down, and it wasn't until 3 or 4 hours after that that they told us that they'd shut it down, and even began to try to explain why. And yeah. if you remember, their explanation made no sense whatsoever.
Yeah. So well, I think. Me watching someone, right? I think you're right. It's like me watching someone do laser eye surgery. I wouldn't even know what I'm looking for right. to know if they're doing it right or wrong, you know.
But we have to have somebody somewhere other than yeah. BP who does.
Yeah.
Representative, let's get your take on a couple other things before we have sure. to let you go. I want to get to the jobs and the economy, but your quick take on the primary results yesterday.
I think one of the big stories is, and I, you know, as a Democratic incumbent member of Congress, I have no illusions that, you know, the people are cranky and skeptical about the direction of the economy. They're not completely sold on some of the decisions that we in the majority made, and we're going to have to work hard to go out there and make our case. However, what I think is slowly becoming clear, and what makes this much different than 1994, the public doesn't like the Republican Party either. In fact, they like them less. Than they yes. like us. Now, I'll grant you, that's a low bar to jump over at this point. But, you know, all incumbents of both parties have serious, serious problems. And also the extreme reaction from the Republicans. I mean, if the Republicans had come out and offered some sort of sensible centrist, you know, response, instead they've swung all the way over to the other side to the point where they've got Tea Party candidates winning.
Oh, the Tea Party's the gift that keeps on giving for us, in my opinion.
Absolutely. Now, a final cautionary note on that. We Democrats have got, you know, we've got a lot of explaining to do, and we've got to make clear what our agenda is and where we're going forward. This gives us an opportunity to survive a tough election, but if we don't really work really hard and start showing some results, you know, we may not anyway. So we got hard work ahead of us. But
let's as we know, I mean, I think once again, it's all going to come back to the economy and jobs. Yep. What is your take on where we're at with all that?
What a tough spot. And I think, you know, one of the things we have to keep explaining is in 2008, we lost $16 trillion in economic value. I mean, I heard estimates back in, you know, October and November of 2008 that it was going to be until 2011 or 2012 before we saw the other side of this, you know, of the collapse of this massive bubble that so many people leveraged into. And it's going to take time and it's going to be tough. That's number one. Number two, we got to get some confidence back. I mean, I talk to more business people who tell me in an ordinary time, given their growth, given what's happening, they'd be adding jobs, but they're not because they're nervous. You know, we got to get financial services reform passed so that it's clear what it is, if nothing else, so that we have a better regulatory system in place, but the uncertainty is reduced. And I think we do have to a certain degree, you know, preach confidence, hire people, invest. We're growing. We've made decisions to stop the collapse of our economy, and let's move forward because there is a big lack of confidence out there, not just in consumers, but more importantly in business people and investors. And we got to really listen to them and get that confidence back.
You know, it's interesting, Congressman. I had someone that identified himself as a right-wing caller today, and he said something though that a friend of mine said. I hear these things they say, the economy's better, jobs, whatever, but it doesn't feel like it on the street.
Right.
And even my friend said that if you're the one that's still out of a job, it doesn't feel like it to you yet that anything's better.
Yeah, and worse than that, it doesn't feel like that to investors. It doesn't feel like that even to people who, you know, maybe have some money. They're still nervous, you know, and there are a lot of things that are causing that nervousness. But I think we do, like I said, you know, whatever laws we're working on here, financial services is the biggest example, you know, get it in place, get some certainty out there, and give people some confidence that we have a plan and we're going forward in a positive direction. I believe that we do, but not enough people do, and we have got to make that case.
Yep. All right. I'm going to let you get back to it.
All right.
Representative
well,
Adam
you.
Smith thank of the
you.
Great state of Washington. Thank you, sir.
Great.
There he goes, Adam Smith. We love him.
Just for
okay.
you.
47 minutes after the hour, back with all the latest on the oil spill as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
It's a beautiful miracle of nature.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Girl. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 52 minutes after the hour. Jim, I think Ed Schultz is going to be doing something on this tonight.
I've heard
on the Arkansas primary.
Yeah, it's
so
Garland
voters
County.
Voters are suing in Garland County over, they filed suit over the runoff election, arguing that the Garland County Election Commission disenfranchised voters by drastically reducing the number of polling locations. I guess Halter had won last month, right?
In the primary, he beat Blanche Lincoln 44-40. And Charles Tapp, the election commissioner, just decided to pull 38 of the polls. Instead of 40, there were two, and it could have cost Halter the.
I started. Obviously, we heard about a lot of that, as Wolf called them, irregularities when I was on CNN.
Yes. Irregularities.
Much as what I suffer from my diet of hard cheese and drywall.
That's what I was saying, Jim, earlier. It's hard for me to be on TV with Wolf Blitzer because I just picture you doing him in my head.
We'll have to leave it there.
No, we're not going to have to leave it there.
But, yeah, of course, it's just irregularities. Just stuff happened. No one is at fault.
CNN acknowledged that there was some problem in
Because
Arkansas.
I think Halter had been expected to win, and I think, there is some suspicion, I'm sure, particularly in progressive circles.
I'd like to find out who Charles Tapp was working for. Why did he decide to close virtually all the polls in Garland County?
David Bender was saying earlier, is there a machine in Arkansas? Do they do, stuff to win elections? Yeah, I mean, and clearly Bill Clinton, I think the Bill Clinton factor was huge as well.
But, if it were just machines, they wouldn't have had to close the polls. They could have manipulated it after the fact, as happened in Ohio in 2004. But here they just blatantly closed.
Speaking of machines, my ballot was spat back out at me yesterday.
Really?
Yes, it was.
Really?
Do not like the votes, things you chose.
Well, there was a big, how on some you're supposed to vote for no more than four, and some you're supposed to vote for no more than two, and some you're supposed to vote for just one. I think I accidentally voted for two when you were only supposed to vote for one.
Overvoter.
Yeah, so it spat it back out at me. It said, you have a problem, and I went back and fixed it.
Alarm.
And didn't accept it.
Overvoter.
So it there
says,
you go.
And it said,
you know what, though? The same thing happened to Arnold Schwarzenegger when he voted yesterday. It spat it back out at him, and he had to go back and
I have to do it again with these kinds of things.
Nature.
Yeah.
How dare you?
I was just doing things of this nature and these kinds of things, and it spat it back out there to me. And the machine said, what is a thing of this nature? What are these other things? What do you mean?
You have not things of this nature. Say it correctly. It is not California.
These
California.
Kinds of things.
Say it correctly or you cannot vote. California. No.
The state is pronounced California.
Although I don't think that has any bearing because my I voted sticker was translated into like a bunch of different languages.
It's got Mandarin and Cantonese.
And Tagalog.
Korean, Tagalog, Spanish, of course.
Yummy. Does it come in spicy beef?
And Vietnamese.
Yes.
Sanchez in Montebello. Hola, que tal, adios. Mio, mi amigo.
Morita y los Mookies del Norte. Muy buenos quesadillas. Hey, I have more information for you, and actually an update from the story that I was breaking here about the video of the flyover of this second rig in the Gulf of Mexico that is supposedly leaking oil.
Right.
First of all, let me repeat the source of the YouTube, if I may, please.
Yes.
It's called a new source with a question mark, and then the word flyover. In this footage, you'll see a plane will be flying over this drilling rig. It's called the Ocean Saratoga. Now, the owners of this rig, Diamond Offshore Drilling Incorporated, they released a press release yesterday in response to all of the commotion going on here. But there's two sides to the story. What they're saying is that they confirm that there have been no leaks of hydrocarbons from the semi-submersible drilling rig Ocean Saratoga.
Wow.
Okay.
That's a lot of qualifiers.
Well, yes, there's more coming here, but it was abandoned when it was toppled during Hurricane Ivan in 2004. So this is how long this one has been going on. Now, here's the catchy part here. At the time that these photos were taken by this plane from Hurricane Creek Keeper, the guy that shot the footage, Taylor Energy was actually conducting marine operations on a site within 180-foot dynamically positioned workboat for, here's the catcher, regularly scheduled subsea containment system drainage. So they're saying this is just like it's just going on here. But nevertheless, and there's a story that broke, and CNBC is backing it up, that the Alabama newspaper, which is called the Press Register, said it obtained a federal document showing that this leak has been ongoing since April 30th. And, of course, SkyTruth is backing it up. So there's,
all right, honey. Thank you. Wow. I appreciate that.
And
yeah,
the
I
boat
mean,
appeared to be dropping dispersants into the water.
I saw that report. I was sitting in
hair and makeup last night at CNN. I don't know if you guys were watching Anderson Cooper saying they're not letting them take pictures of the birds anymore.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. But they, you know, the ones they took a couple days ago. I mean, that's all you need to do is see a bird covered in oil.
ThinkProgress.org has a daily rundown of pictures that BP doesn't want you to
dead
see.
Dead dolphins.
Yeah, and it's just absolutely turtles. Heartbreaking.
Yeah, I mean, but to know that this is just a disaster of epic proportions environmentally.
No, it's fine. Very, very modest. Unlike me.
58 minutes after the hour, back with Reverend Al Sharpton. Reverend Jesse Jackson. I'm sorry. I misspoke. As we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Mm-hmm. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. This hour brought to you by Carbonite.com. Yes, do what I do. Protect your irreplaceable computer files with Carbonite Online Backup. Don't wait. Start backing up your computer with Carbonite today. Wait. Don't wait till it's too late. Go to Carbonite.com. Use the offer code Stephanie for my special offer of 15-day free trial plus 2 months free with any subscription. That's Carbonite.com. Offer code Stephanie.
I need to see if I can get that for my new iMac.
Yes.
Yeah. Huh. Okay.
Oh. I believe Mama got you that.
Yes,
despite
thank
the fact
you, Mama.
That you once lost my laptop.
I appreciate the new iMac. Doesn't the show sound crisper now?
All right, StephanieMiller.com is the website. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris LaVoy, voice deity Jim Ward, or me, Stephanie Miller. Reverend Jesse Jackson, James, joins us now to talk about the oil spill and much more. Good morning, Reverend.
Good morning. Thanks for allowing me to share with you today. We feel so distressed by this devastation. We see it on television with the oil gushing, but to talk with the fishermen and who lost their seasonal livelihood, I might ask, and their homes and their savings, who really at this point cannot even get their remittances, it's very difficult.
Well, absolutely. And I don't know if you saw yesterday, Reverend, the brother of one of the men killed on the rig just breaking down into tears. And you know, talking about how very deeply this the CEO of BP hurt them by saying, "Oh, I want my life back." You know, he showed pictures of him with his son. I mean, those two little boys will never have their father back. You know, his wife will never have her husband back. I mean, it really.
Strikes me that this is a pattern of safety and environmental and ecological violations. We were there picking 2 or 3 years ago in Texas City, Texas, where 15 people were killed and scores were injured. And the fine that BP got was kind of protected by the cap. And so for them, taking a fine is like the price of doing business, because the crime, I mean, the fine didn't correspond, you know, with the depth of the crisis. Now we're going to be picketing today here in Whiting, Indiana. BP has a plant there where they're taking heavy crude tar from Canada, and they are dropping into Lake Michigan benzene and mercury and now more ammonia, which is both toxifying the air and the water, affecting fish and very close to our drinking water. That's why we support the idea of a receivership, that the U.S. government should put BP in North America, BP in receivership, until we can get accurate data. Right now, we're still getting floating data on just how the extent of the damage.
Right. Reverend, that sounds like a Jim Dandy idea to me, I have to say. Why would the administration not do that? I mean, because I think, again, we are well past time to talk tough to BP. I mean, I think there are...
See, if you talk tough to them on the one hand, and still keep giving states incentives to drill more, that's a contradiction.
Yeah.
If you talk tough to them and then keep depending upon their data, if you're going to investigate them for criminal behavior, which means that they can be facing fines, if they control the information flow, they lowball the numbers, so has to reduce their fine exposure. You follow what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And so if the government takes up in receivership, then at least we have control of information on the data flow. And right now, we thought it was 5,000 barrels for a long time. The other day they got 11,000 barrels in one day, and that was maybe one-fourth of the hemorrhage that's taking place. That's why Bob Reich is correct, and I join him in the idea that the government should put BP on the receivership until this matter's cleared up.
Well, because, you know, once again, Reverend, pretty much everything they've said has turned out to be untrue. And you know, I think the CEO said the other day, we're paying all the claims. Well, they're not. They've paid half of them, right?
And some of the most vulnerable people are, and what compounds it with me, frankly, beside this issue of Lake Michigan and the water in Lake Michigan, is that some people who had not yet recovered from Katrina,
mm-hmm.
I've been hit again, some of the same people, and
yeah.
They're not getting a response from the state, nor from BP, at this point, nor from the federal government. And that's why the president accepts responsibility as a good thing. He's responsible, but he's not at fault. It's not his fault. It is his responsibility. So he assumes that, but you cannot be responsible unless you have the power to implement, you know, your turf. And the receivership, it seems to me, is a logical way to do that.
Yeah, well, I totally agree. You know, it's hard. There's so many layers of this. I mean, I don't know if you've heard the latest, Reverend, in terms of where we are now, that, you know, this latest thing they had done, the top kill, I mean, this may literally have made this worse. So even now, this disaster may be expanding, and we don't even, I mean, what do we do now on the level of trying to find out, well, what's happening?
Well, I would be more satisfied. There are some other countries in the world that doing in the North Sea, for example, that do deep water drilling, that do deep drilling into the waters and looking for oil. I would like to see us convene a kind of global energy summit session to make certain that the best science in the world is available. It may come from the Nordic countries. It may come from Venezuela. It may come from Brazil. Wherever it may come from, let's let our quest for a remedy transcend politics and get the best science that we can find. In the meantime, we need to contain as much as we can, but we also need the best information we can get. The information ranging now from, you know, from 5,000 barrels to way beyond up around 30 or 40.
Yeah, well, I mean, and here's the other thing I shouldn't find it stunning, but, you know, that many of these Republicans are still pushing for drilling before we even know what happened here, before we even know how to safeguard. You know, we've got David Vitter and all of these Gulf Coast guys saying we got to lift the moratorium and drill more.
Well, the administration so far is fighting on the one hand to stop the hemorrhaging in the Gulf, is providing states with the incentive to drill more. Right now, this is not the time for more drilling. It's time for more analysis and for more safety. Now, we understand that some of the safety precautions, the acoustical sound, for example,
that's applied in other parts of the world that didn't use some of the same precautions here. Because our environment protection laws until recently, until Lisa Jackson took it, was so lax. This honeymoon between the British Petroleum and Mining and Minerals Department, between BP and EPA, that corrupt relationship left us unprotected. It reminds me so much, Stephanie, of the banking deal. The banks, without oversight, were able to run amok, and this home foreclosure crisis drove us out the market. And so whether it's the banks without oversight, the oil comes out of oversight, they, without checks and balances, we've all heard from it, the ecology and the economy.
Oh, exactly, Reverend. There's one story after another, whether it's the mining disaster or this oil spill or the financial meltdown. You know, you're absolutely right. These people that think, you know, there should be no regulation of any kind are proven wrong over and over again.
I just don't want people to grow weary of the story. You know, we have a very short time span for listening. We want to go to something else real fast, real quick, and real slick, mm-hmm. and real dirty. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
And that's why I say boycotting is a way you can express yourself. And it's also time to look at green, clean energy. You know, with the idea about alternative forms of energy, you know, the first green job is the bus driver, the transit workers' jobs. 3.5 million people ride mass transit in New York every day, 2 million in Chicago every day. We'll land off transit workers and raising fares and cutting services because we're still building more road and more bridge for more cars and more gas, more long and car congestion, and we in fact should be going the route of mass rail. We can make the steel, and we can lay the rail. We can build the trains. We can build the cars. This is a great moment, not just to stop the hemorrhaging in the Gulf, but stop the addiction to the oil in the first place.
Yeah, I absolutely agree with you. Reverend Jesse Jackson, we always so appreciate your time. Thank you so much for the good work you're doing.
May I say this to you, that this coming week, June 12th through 16th, at the Rainbow Push Convention here in Chicago.
Uh-huh.
And I want people to listen to get this on our website at www.rainbowpush.org. There'll be a major session, the Rainbow Push and others, on energy and mass transit on Tuesday, June the 15th. I want you who listen to be a part of it, because together we must close ranks and make something happen.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Reverend Jackson. Talk to you soon.
Thank you.
All right. There he goes, Reverend Jesse.
And, of course, we have a link to that at stephaniemiller.com if you didn't get
of
all
of course we do. It just magically appears. I say it here. It comes out over there.
What do you mean magically appears? I spend about an hour each morning putting it up.
Whatever. I don't care about the details. I'm a big picture gal.
The elves do it.
Yes, the magical elves.
Somebody does it. All right. Except the one that wants to be a dentist. That guy I fired.
You're fired.
I'd like to be a dentist.
Ow. Could I have my love letter music, please? I have some letters, love letters from right-wingers. Hmm. How about this one? Mark in San Jose. Hi, Mama. I have a confession to make. I've been a registered Republican for a long time. This election, though, I couldn't resist when I saw that Oily Taint was running for Secretary of State in California. It was difficult to keep from bursting out in fits of laughter while voting, thinking about the campaign season to come and hearing Jim Ward in my head saying, "Let me finish!
Let me finish!"
They didn't let her finish, Jim. She
let
lost.
Me finish! I am qualified.
Well, California, why wouldn't you let Oily Taint finish? Come on. If she wins the primary, it would be awesome. I'm looking forward to spending the evenings watching the resulting circus with a big tub of popcorn. Listener Mark in San Jose. Jim Ward makes everything better.
Yes.
Telling you. I have that crazy thing.
Because I have the birth certificate. Drill, baby, drill. And I'm not talking about this.
I so wanted her to win so we could just put on a placard, just, you know, Carly Fiorino, her, and Meg Whitman.
Oh,
just,
wow.
Go for it. Go for it, California. Oh,
and you'd
damn
be
it.
You'd be moving back to that.
Pardon me?
You'd be moving back to that.
Plus, by the way, Deborah Bowen is an awesome Secretary of State in California. Mm-hmm. Just saying. All right.
But you're not that awesome like me. I can kick you in the head and then fix your teeth.
She can. I think that should have been her campaign slogan. I can kick you in the head and then fix your teeth. She's what is she, a dentist? What's the other thing
lawyer,
she is?
Lawyer, dentist, real
She's
estate
a lawyer,
agent.
Dentist.
And a brown belt in taekwondo.
And a real estate agent.
Oh, God. She could have had, like, Chuck Norris could have come and campaigned for her. She could have had him kick people in the head. And then she could have fixed their teeth.
And sold you a house.
Exactly. Oh, she's also a realtor?
I just said that.
Yes. I'm just shocked that any dojo or dojang in this case would let someone that crazy become a human weapon.
It's not going to happen. You go home now.
We're not teaching you any wax on, wax off. Okay, 18 minutes after the hour. Back with much more on the primaries, the oil spill, and much more as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
It's life-altering. It's soul-changing. It's the summit of all human desire.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
I get my kids above the waistline, sunshine.
Only because no one offers any other kind. The Stephanie Miller Show, 24 minutes after the hour. The Stephanie Miller Show, where dreams go to die. That's right, Jim. Unfortunately, Oily Taint did lose yesterday in the Secretary of State, so she will not be in the race.
Finish.
And that means then Ross Perot couldn't jump in at the last minute, so we could have the second most... entertaining California debate ever.
Can I finish? No, you don't finish. I finish.
Can I finish?
I kick you in the head.
Okay.
Playing
the hits.
Your house.
Playing the hits. Kim in Seattle writes, Steph, speaking of Oily Taint, doesn't Chris Matthews end his show with a commentary called Let Me Finish?
Fair enough.
Which is a little ironic, because when does he ever let anyone else start?
True. I got to say, it's been a long time since I've watched Hardball, so apparently there have been a few changes, huh?
Fair enough. All right. Oh, my it's Hump Days with Hal Sparks on the phone, everybody.
Hey.
He's in London.
Hi.
Good morning, honey.
How are you? Can you hear me okay?
I can hear you all right. A little Skypey, but you're all right.
Well, that happens. I'm in another continent.
Plus, you've got shepherd's pie and bangers and mash and
yeah, whatever. Yeah,
and
totally.
Chicken tikka masala in your mouth.
What?
Yeah,
it's
pretty.
England not doing well PR wise. What with all the evil British villains on TV these days in the BP crisis.
Oh, and thank God, you know what I mean.
Yeah.
I've been come over here with all the crap we've gotten lately, and then they were nice enough to spill a bunch of oil into the Gulf before I came, and now they're all apologizing profusely. They're like, "Oh yeah, sorry about that. He's a bit crap."
Here's your crumpet. Sorry about the oil.
Yeah, right.
How far?
I let it slip out. I try not when I'm wandering around to, you know, if I go to a tea shop or something, I go, can I have a little extra oil? I mean, sugar for my tea, you know.
Yes.
Just let it roll out. I don't mention the war. Right.
Yes.
Do not mention the war to Mr. Bilka.
What does, Hal Sparks, what did you think of the primary results? Your thoughts?
Well, did you see them?
I am a little disappointed that Blanche Lincoln made it in, but I'm glad it rattled her tree.
Right.
And I wonder if now it means her losing going into the election, and what our Republican option is there.
Right.
That's my concern. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I am concerned the progressive base is certainly, you know, it's going to be tough to rally, I think, for Blanche Lincoln, but we'll see.
But I think.
Right. Well, she's going to have to do a lot of that to continue to shift towards the left between now and Election Day to make sure because just the people that she had vote for her aren't enough. So she's got to make sure that her challengers folks show up, and I think that means tacking the way she was tacking. And quite frankly, I think she got that mild edge by what she's been doing the last 6 weeks, the last month or so, you know, and especially with financial reform. So, you know, it's a toss-up which Blanche Lincoln will show up for the election, and
right.
That's not a good choice, hopefully.
Right. Now, Hal Sparks, I, of your many famous quotes here on the Stephanie Miller Show, one of my favorites is, I think you said, how will I know if I've met the right woman unless I try them all?
Right.
Could you do a favor for the Democratic Party and sleep with Nikki Haley sometime in the next couple of weeks, or The South Carolina.
I hear she's easy.
You know what? I really just don't have time to wait online. I mean, is there like Disneyland where you could get one of those passes where you go straight to the front?
Yeah, the fast pass.
Fast pass.
Yeah.
Apparently, a lot of people have a fast pass, is what I'm told.
Hey, Hal?
I know. That's the problem.
Hal, your Showtime special, Charmageddon, was awesome, by the way.
Thank you. It's doing really, really well. They send me, you know, a list of when it's going to air and all that stuff, and they pretty much tripled the viewings for it because it's doing so well.
Awesome.
Which is
so if you have Showtime, it will repeat, so check your listings to find out when you can see Charmageddon, Hal Sparks' fabulous new comedy special.
Yes, they can watch it on demand.
All right. And HalSparks.com is the website. You're a little Skypey, honey. I'm going to have to let you go. But
I know what's funny is I sound perfect at Ustream, so it's right. Very weird. I don't know what we're going to do, but there you go.
We'll all right, honey. Thanks.
Next week, I will be to find some way, somehow, to sound.
All right.
I think we are.
All right, we've lost him. I'll see you next week, honey, and I would like fries with that. Okay, 29 minutes after the hour, right back with Representative Debbie Wasserman Schultz next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Look at her, Steve. That is the most tasty, low-fat Stephanie Miller ever.
Thank you, P90X. It is the Stephanie Miller Show, 34 minutes after the hour. Susan writes, Steph, I've heard the Navy submersible that Jim mentioned can only get down 1,500 feet, not nearly enough for the depth of this disaster.
It's at 5,000 feet.
Well, that's what's wrong with the Navy, then?
I'm just saying this is the problem is we all are talking out of our ass about this thing. So nobody knows exactly scientific, all of the what's going on at every level with this thing.
Maybe they're talking about manned submersibles. Well, I'm talking about robotics.
I'm sure that if it would have worked, they would have thought of it and done it by now.
Well, I'm not so sure.
Well, the federal government can do good things.
Well, I'm just saying, a lot of people have thrown out a lot of things. They should have, whatever, and then you're like...
Yeah, but...
It's like, okay.
Obama is too beholden to corporate interests, and then that's, you know, he was praising Lloyd
Blankfein,
you know, weeks before the whole Wall Street disaster.
Oh, boy.
Okay, well, it's fine if it was just me here, but now you're talking to Debbie Wasserman Schultz, so good luck with that, mister. Good morning, Congresswoman Debbie Wasserman Schultz.
How are you, Stephanie?
I work with these naysayers.
I'm a glasses half full kind of person. I don't know what they're talking about.
Me too. Well, you know, I mean, it really is unbelievable, isn't it? Everybody's got something to say about how the president's handled this and what he should have done or how mad he should be. He really, he can't do anything right, can he?
No. Everyone seems to have something to say about anything the president does, the way he handles anything. But, you know, I mean, I'm sure that he would say that's the job I signed up for, and the buck stops with him. I heard him say it about the oil spill. I heard him say about it about the economic crisis. No matter what he inherited, he recognizes that he's the guy in charge, and this is the job he signed up for, and it's his job to help move us in the right direction, which he's been doing consistently since his inauguration.
Yeah. Well, I mean, as a congressperson from a Gulf state, though, I mean, it looks like this is getting worse, right? I mean, the latest we're hearing is that this top kill could have made it worse, and there's, more leaks now underground. I mean, what would you do if you were him? What do we do now?
Well, I think I do exactly what he's been doing. He's deployed 1,700 members of the National Guard on the ground, 20,000 federal employees. Secretary Chu, the Secretary of Energy, our Nobel laureate, coordinating the scientific team from Houston. We've got 1,700 vessels dealing with the cleanup from the spill. Holding BP accountable and their feet to the fire, calling for a removal of the ridiculous statutory cap that exists for oil companies that was mind-boggling that it was put in place in the first place. I think President Obama is leading on this issue. He also I think we suffer from a limitation in that this is BP's responsibility. They have the expertise. It's theirs and Deepwater Horizon's responsibility to manage getting it stopped.
And that's what I was going to say, Congresswoman. I would have done the same thing the president did from the beginning. This is your responsibility. This is your fault. Mm-hmm. You have the expertise and the equipment. Fix this, you know. And so I don't think any of us knew then the degree to which they were going to lie and cover up. So I think he's responding the best way he can.
And another couple of examples. I mean, he required BP because the only permanent solution is to drill those relief wells. So he called for them to drill two rather than one because in the event, I mean, that's a really precision, precision-like procedure. If one fails, then at least we have the second one that makes, as a backup. And so he's done that. They've launched a criminal probe at the Department of Justice under the Attorney General, the Attorney General's direction. So I think they are doing everything they can. And we did get some good news over the weekend, and at least off the coast of Florida, in that the expected onslaught of oil similar to Louisiana has not hit Florida's beaches. And while there are tar balls washing up, it's not, it's not been at the same pace. And, the beaches are open and it has not affected tourism the way they expected it to.
So the BP CEO Tony Hayward is going to make his first appearance on Capitol Hill next week in a hearing. Are you going to get a chance to rough him up personally, or
The Florida delegation is going to be meeting with BP officials this week, as a matter of fact.
As someone that's been roughed up by Debbie Wasserman Schultz, I can't recommend it enough for the BP CEO.
I will tell you that BP deserves it a lot more than my experience with you, Stephanie. We were always on the same side. I don't know that anybody in America is on the same side as BP right now.
Yeah.
Except for Rand Paul, who's still asking why there must be villains.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, it is amazing, isn't it? All of these, Republicans already screaming about, why are we stopping drilling? We need to keep drilling. It's just stunning that you would not think this at least merits a pause.
The Republicans in Florida have recognized that this whole issue is radioactive, that it makes absolutely no sense for us to continue to depend on oil, but also to risk our environment, our economy, when we have so many other alternatives. I mean, pursuing alternative energy and climate change legislation is our only long-term solution. And that's at least what I'm hopeful is going to come out of this, is to try to finally make sure that we pass some responsible energy legislation in this country and create some jobs.
Congresswoman Lee, I know we want to move to health care, but let's talk about your reaction to the primary results yesterday and what that means for 2010.
Well, you know what I think it says, particularly Blanche Lincoln's election, is that the Republicans are going to try to nationalize, and I realize this was a primary, but the Republicans are trying to nationalize all of these races and run against Congress, run against Washington. They're going to try to morph every Democratic member of Congress into Nancy Pelosi and Barack Obama, and our members have their finger on the pulse of their districts and their states, and they know what their constituents need and what their constituents respond to, and I think the results of yesterday primaries show that, particularly with Blanche Lincoln's election.
Well, right, that I think it's going to be state by state, race by race, and I think this Tea Party is just nothing but good news for us. I think it's going to implode on them in Kentucky and certainly in Nevada. I think Harry Reid is throwing back highballs this morning. What do you think?
Well, I think that if you look at the demise that everyone predicted would come to Blanche Lincoln and have been predicting for Harry Reid. I think that the chicken counting should stop.
Yeah. I know. Even the chicken lady didn't make it in. Congresswoman, one of the things, obviously, is they're going to try to refight health care. Here was the president yesterday.
Beginning this week, tens of thousands of seniors who fall into the donut hole, like Fran, will receive a $250 rebate check to help you cover the costs of your prescriptions.
That, like my mom, also that benefits. How are they really are going to try to refight this, aren't they, in the election?
Oh yeah, I mean they're gonna run as repeal Republicans and try to get people to focus on the big bad boogeyman of health care reform, as opposed to the focus where it should be on insurance companies and making sure that that people know what we did, which was take insurance companies out of the driver's seat when it comes to healthcare decision making, and put patients and their doctors in the driver's seat, prohibiting them from dropping or denying people coverage based on a pre-existing condition, dropping them when they get sick, prohibiting young adults from continuing on their parents' insurance. We added folks like that until they're 26 years old, and closing the donut hole. Tomorrow, checks will go out for $250 to any senior on Medicare in the donut hole, and we're going to make sure that over the next 10 years, seniors save $3,000 on their prescription drugs. And our members are going to be talking about that across the country. I had a chance to do a listening session with constituents of mine in Hollywood at a senior center, and they had so many questions about healthcare reform. And I think they left that meeting feeling a lot more comfortable and confident because they trust me. I've represented them for 18 years. They're listening to all the rhetoric on TV. When they hear from their own lawmaker, a person who read the bill, reviewed the details, and then came back to report to them on how it's going to benefit them, that's information they can
send
to the bank.
That's always been the hope is, right, is that a lot of these good things that we've been saying forever that are in the healthcare bill are going to kick in, so people, to overcome all the Republican fear-mongering and lies that have been out there for a year about healthcare.
Oh, exactly.
Before the elections, do you think that will be the case?
I do. I mean, especially because much of the really good things in this bill kick in this year, making sure that we can keep kids from being dropped based on a pre-existing condition, the young adult provision until they're 26, closing the donut hole, those checks that are going to go out to begin to close the donut hole, making sure that companies can't drop people when they're sick. I mean, all of those things go into effect right away, or beginning in September. And then they'll start to feel the impact of what healthcare reform means for them.
Yeah.
And going into the election, I think that's going to add to their ability to decide to support Democrats up and down the ballot.
Yeah. Congresswoman Schultz, because it's a post-primary day and you're a female congressperson, I'm a female talk show host, I have to ask you what Wolf Blitzer asked me on CNN last night. The year of the woman, Stephanie, what do you think? I think it's just required that I ask that because...
Wolf Blitzer was predicting that it was another year of the woman?
Yeah. Well, a lot of women won last night.
Because of Meg Whitman and Carly Fiorina. And...
Well, I was saying, because they were saying, did Sarah Palin start this? And I'm like, well, if it's the year of unqualified women, like Carly Fiorina, yes, I guess so.
I mean, I think we've reached the point where we haven't only earned one. Every year. Can be the year of the woman because, and we have so many opportunities with every passing election year. But interestingly enough, those opportunities really only seem to present themselves when you're a Democratic woman, because the Republicans, and I think I've talked to you about this before, had this major initiative on the House side to recruit and attract women to run as Republicans for Congress. And they, I think, attracted a whopping 9. And have not been terribly successful at attracting women to their brand, because the issues that matter to women when it comes to families and health care and education, the Republicans are wrong on all those issues. So
right. Well, I mean, look at
women want to run with their brand.
Yeah, I mean, I look at Carly Fiorina, and I mean, first of all, virulently anti-choice, virulently pro-gun to the extent of letting people on the terrorist watch list be able to buy guns.
Unqualified to be a U.S. senator.
Yeah, I mean, yes, and it ran HP into the ground. I mean, got fired, and that's her qualification.
I would be hiding my head in shame rather than letting it get cut off by Barbara Boxer, which is what I think is going to happen to her. But
yeah.
We all make our choice.
Me too. All right, Congresswoman Debbie Wasserman Schultz of the great state of Florida. Thanks as always.
Stephanie, let me just tell you, I am in a never-ending battle to promote your show.
And thank you.
You can help me do that by helping me ask people to like my Facebook page,
okay.
Rep. Debbie Wasserman Schultz, because every time I'm on, we always promote that I'm going to be on. So. hopefully everybody will help me win the House Democratic Majority Leader contest by liking my Facebook page, Rep. Debbie Wasserman Schultz.
We will post that on the Stephanie Miller Show Facebook page.
Thank this you, magical interweb awesome. Moment brought to you by Debbie Wasserman Schultz's Facebook page. Thank you, Congresswoman.
Thanks
see you
so
next
much.
Time.
Take care.
All right,
bye.
There she goes.
Hi,
yes.
I have an
all
update
right.
on Navy submersibles.
All right, can we do that when we get back?
Sure.
We went a little
yeah,
long.
A little
we will
long.
Have an update on Navy submersibles from Jim Ward.
Admiral Jim Ward.
Admiral Jim Ward.
Yes.
Permission to come aboard.
Well, Commodore.
Next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Can we absolutely positively guarantee that it will give me an orgasm? Yeah.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
You don't have to put on the red light. Those days are over.
Really? Wow. Now you tell her.
Well, you do look a little like
now
Nikki. What's your face?
Now you tell me. Love God. All right. It is the Steph. And someone should have told me that Broadway doesn't go for booze and dopes. Who's in charge of telling me things, for God's sakes?
Stephanie Miller.
They drummed you right out of Hollywood. So you come crawling back to Broadway. Well, Broadway doesn't go for booze and dope.
Ah, thanks a lot. Now, a lot of crawling. People could save me time.
Well, now you find out that Hollywood does go for booze and dope.
I'm going to have scabby knees by the time I get back from all the crawling. Jim Ward has some breaking news
yes.
on the Navy submersibles. Yes, sir.
Pressurized
Permission
submersibles.
To come aboard.
Pressurized submersibles are piloted mini submarines designed to withstand the crushing pressure of deep dives. These craft carry their own supplies of breathing air, and the hulls of some can withstand pressure at undersea depths as great as 6,000 meters or 20,000 feet. So, if you can have manned submersibles that do that, I think they could probably have some.
However, that information is supposed to be classified, I believe. I read.
Well, no, there are some things that are classified, but
okay.
this is right here on the.
Right here on the interweb.
Jim may be in Gitmo by the end of the show. Jim in Wichita, Kansas. Hi, Jim.
Yeah, hi, Steph. I'm just wondering if President Obama made him drill an extra hole in case the first one didn't work. Why aren't we drilling three or four in case the first two don't work and it goes on another 4 months?
I don't. You know what? This got above my pay grade, Chris, quite some time ago.
Yes, it did.
Whole scientific.
But if the. If the well itself has burst and oil is seeping out into the ground and coming up all over the place, then all that is moot.
Yeah, yeah.
Or we won't be able to stop it.
By the way, can I have my fine American music? Speaking of permission to come aboard, I love this letter from Chris in Laverne, California.
Ah.
I think that's near, just up the interstate from Shirley.
No. It's actually right next door to where I was born in Pomona.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, all right. All right. I sense this will be another man that I will disappoint, as I have so many. Dear Stephanie, I am his subject line, permission to come aboard. Presumably the Stephanie Miller Show.
Okay.
Not necessarily, you know.
Stephanie Miller. Although you wouldn't turn it down.
Disappoint. I am so lonely. Dear Stephanie, I am a 46-year-old white male Christian conservative who loves his wife, does not believe in gay marriage, drives a Chevy pickup truck, and believes in legal immigration, the American flag, and God and country.
Okay.
If I met, I know we would get along just fine. However, I'm sure we wouldn't agree on everything. Yep.
And Pete says no.
We probably have.
Yeah.
We'd have some scuffles.
Have a few issues.
That said, I was looking for another morning show to listen to when the idiot I've been listening to for some time made the last penis joke I care to hear. I love that he thinks he's going to get less jokes from us.
Yeah.
He's going to be sadly disappointed, but oh well. For now, welcome aboard, Chris. Clearly, okay, only people in Los Angeles will get why this is so funny. Clearly, this man is gay, along with a few other deep emotional problems. There is just no need for this on the airways. I'm, of course, talking about Bill Handel. Who is not gay, but I...
No, not in any way, shape, or form.
I sense, Chris, you know, because we actually are the most gay-friendly show, and we tell the most jokes of any show. So, Chris, I feel this is going to be a short relationship between he and I. I like you, Stephanie, but most of the same political BS I can do without. Well, you're just going to get more of that, too. Yeah. I will continue to listen to you because I feel you're not out to hurt anyone with your radio show. Permission to come, come aboard?
Yeah.
Come on, Chris. Come aboard, sir. I have a feeling it'll be a short cruise on the good ship, Stephanie Miller.
A three-hour tour?
Oh, well, let's enjoy the time while it lasts. All right. Thad, talking about the oil crisis.
In the last 24-hour period, that was from midnight last night to midnight this night, we were able to recover 14,842 barrels. And I think the last 4 days we've gone from about 6,000 barrels up to almost 15,000.
All right, blah, 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 blah. But I don't know what any of it means, Jim, and it doesn't matter, does it, if this the new leaks are happening?
Well, all I know is
that the hell do we do about those, by the way? Can the relief well even, if this is causing
already leaked out of the well itself and into the ground.
What if we're causing a super volcano in the Gulf of Mexico?
Exactly. You're just going, how much worse could this possibly get? Senator Dick Durbin. Yes.
I happen to believe if you are engaged in drilling and can create this level of damage, it carries with it a responsibility that you accept liability for the damage. If you cannot accept that liability, stay the hell out of the business.
Yeah.
Thank you. And Representative Ed Markey taking on BP yesterday.
Mm-hmm. BP is either lying or they're grossly incompetent. And the difference in terms of the impact on people in the Gulf is meaningless, but I think right from the very beginning, their interest was in their own liability rather than in the livability of the Gulf. And there's no way that they didn't know on that first week that it was more than 1,000 barrels.
All right, and let's have some spicy Cajun for dessert. James Carville on the oil spill.
Whoever the idiot that thought of this idea of the unregulated marketplace, they ought to all put them in re-education camp in Louisiana cleaning this garbage up, because that's the result of a failed philosophy. If we can never go back to that, the same people that say that, this is BP that keep putting out a different number every day, and if the president wants to know who's to kick, he can start right there.
All right, see you tomorrow for Face the Grayson and Mike Papantonio on the Stephanie Miller Show.